This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good and beautiful day to be in the house of God together, and it's my privilege to welcome you to this place this morning. I'm especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us. We're so glad that you're here this morning and hope you have an opportunity to meet some of the friends sitting around you and that you feel the Spirit of Christ moving in and through this place. One of our practices as a community is to sign in on the registration pads that should be closest to the center aisle here and maybe are already making their way down the row. If you would sign in to let us know you were here and pay attention to the names of others sitting on your row, and if there's a name you don't recognize, it's an opportunity to meet someone new today. If you are visiting with us and would like to know a little bit more about our congregation, if you go out this doorway after the service, there's a welcome center and there will be some folks there who can answer any questions you have, give you a tour, let you know a little bit about who we are. Our college students are invited to gather in Reed Hall after this service to go to lunch together. And while you're in Reed Hall, you might see our mission market. This is something that's available through the next few weeks, as this is a season of giving. If you'd like to give a gift that would help make a difference to folks across the world in different ways, take a look at some of those things in the mission market. Several opportunities for further worship today. At 4 o'clock, we have our Advent wreath-making workshop, and then at 5 o'clock, our choir will be leading us in the Bach Oratorio, and those are great events for all ages. We hope you can come tonight. We wanted to highlight that in case there's overflow parking, our neighbors at Caterpillar, which is this way, I think, always offer their parking lot to us. So there's overflow parking in their parking lot tonight and on any Sunday morning when you have trouble finding a parking place. In this season of giving, we have been able to sponsor 44 foster children in our city who otherwise might not have Christmas gifts on Christmas morning. So I want to celebrate that with you. There is still a need for toys and gifts through the last minute toy store. And next Sunday is the deadline, so if you have gifts that you'd like to bring, you can bring them throughout the week or next Sunday, and that will go to help serve 500-plus children and families in Nashville, which is a wonderful ministry. And while we're talking about giving in this season of giving, I would like to remind everyone that this is the season to be making your estimates for giving for 2018. We would love to hear from everybody. Participation is our goal. So if you have not yet made an estimate of giving, you can do that online or you can fill out a card and place it in the offering plate and let us know your plans for 2018. But we are still in 2017, and we are needing to finish this year strong. So if you haven't finished your pledge for this year, or you're able, you find, to give a little bit more at the end of the year, it would be a tremendous help. We have some numbers in the insert about where we are right now. And December is always a big month, but I just want to encourage you to be generous this month and help us finish strong. This is the first season, the first Sunday of Advent, which is my favorite season of the year, a season of preparation to hear once again the good news that a Savior has been born to all of us. So let us prepare our hearts and minds to enter into this hour of worship and preparation and prayer.
Now, in this holy season of Advent, we wait. Now, in this season of waiting, we listen. Now, in the waiting and listening, we watch.
We light this first candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of hope for the coming of Christ into our world. Hear these words from the Psalms. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. Stir up your might and come and save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine upon us that we may be saved. Let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call in your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
Like a faded, dry leaf that the wind blows away, our sins dry us up. Faded and brittle, we are carried off by the wrongs we have done. Yet God loves us and is still able to restore and renew us with the water of life. Please join me in our prayer of confession. God with us, even in Advent, we confess that you can seem far away. You seem hidden when we need you near. In our hurt, doubt, and fear, we do not try to draw closer to you. Instead, we lash out against you, our neighbor, even those we love. Forgive us, we pray, and come to save us. Let your face shine until our tears are dried. Our sins are faded, and our hope is restored. After all, we belong to you, and in your hands we can be made new. Be assured that hope is coming. The day of the Lord is surely dawning. Thanks be to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the Advent prayer for illumination. Holy God, help us to give voice to the wonderful news. You yourself are coming to dwell among us. Quicken our imaginations to find new and creative ways to proclaim Christ's coming. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and causes water to boil, to make your name known as your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains quaked. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, and no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter, and we are all the work of your hand. So do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
If you were to take one day this week and go over to Bed Bath & Beyond, I'm sure you could ask any customer walking down the aisle, "What season is this?" And they would probably look at you like you had two heads, and they would say, "It's the Christmas season." Some are even calling it now the Christmas shopping season. I mean, we know what it's all about, right? It's been going on for a couple of weeks already. Everywhere we go, they're playing the songs. It's a holly jolly Christmas, silver bells, you know, all the classics playing in the background. People are baking cookies and treats are being delivered to offices, all those sorts of things. People are planning Christmas parties and, you know, watching the football game, my favorite Christmas commercial comes on. You know, the one where the person walks out of their front door and lo and behold, there is a Lexus with a big red bow on it. It's so trite. That happens to everybody. Who does that? I'm just wondering. But it is the Christmas shopping season out there, but not in here. We have just begun a new Christian year. Happy New Year, everyone. This is the first Sunday of the season of Advent. And Advent is a season with a very different purpose and tone to this Christmas season that's going on all around us. We come into this place on Sunday morning and we don't sing Holly Jolly. We sing tunes in a minor key, songs about longing and waiting. And we're not wearing red and green, we're wearing purple, a color of repentance. We pray prayers of confession. And here we come this morning, and we open the bulletin, and there is a sermon title, "The Prophet's Lament." Is there room in the season of Advent for lament? Is this really a time of year when we want to hear the prophet's lament? Yes. I want to say this morning, this is absolutely the right time and place for lament. And before we explore why that is during the season of Advent, I want to look specifically at this prophet's lament. What is going on in his world, in his life, that causes him to cry out, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down"? The book of Isaiah, we believe, spans many decades, if not centuries, of Israel's history. The first 39 books, chapters of Isaiah seem to take place while Israel is still in the Promised Land. They're enjoying the Promised Land, but they are not being faithful to God. And so the prophet is speaking these words of judgment and warning to Israel in these first 39 chapters. Judgment is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. You have worshiped other gods. You have forgotten the poor and the widow and the orphan. The day of judgment is coming. And sure enough, at some point after chapter 39, judgment comes in the form of the Babylonian army. And they go into the land of Israel and desecrate it. They tear down the temple, and they take many of the Israelites and kidnap them and take them into exile in the land of Babylon. And so after chapter 39, what the prophet begins to speak are words of hope and promise that God's punishment is not forever, that there will come a day when they will be restored. Wait for the Lord. Wait in that hope. Now, by the time we get to chapter 64, where we are today, some scholars think that some of those exiles are beginning to return to the land, but what they have returned to is a land in rubble. And they have a hard time seeing where God is and where God has been. And so the prophet cries out in the voice of the people, "You have hidden your face from us, O God. Where are you? Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down and fix this. Save us. Restore us to where we were before. Take our pain away." It is a prayer of lament before God, of honest lament, saying to God, "You seem hidden from us and we don't know where you are." Have any of you ever been in a season of lament? Do the cries of the prophet ring true for you, either in this season or at some season of your life? I think there are some of us here this morning who are in a season of lament. We're preparing to gather around the Christmas tree, knowing that there's a chair that was full last year, but will be empty this year. We're in a season of grief, having lost someone that we love. Some of us are in a season of lament because we have recently received a diagnosis that we were not expecting, and we're facing a long, difficult journey of healing. Some of us are looking at this Christmas shopping going on, and we look at our own bank accounts, and we're not sure we can even pay the bills. And we want to cry out to God, "Help us, save us, where are you?" Others of us look around at the world and all the things going on in our culture and the divisiveness and the anger that seems to be surrounding us. And some of us are feeling that worry and anxiety for our most vulnerable citizens, the poor and the marginalized. How are they going to make it through these times? Others of us may feel like we don't really have a reason. Things seem to be going well, but for whatever reason, we are just struggling with depression as the days grow shorter and the nights grow longer, and we cannot pull ourselves out of it. The prophet's lament rings true for many of us, and he speaks for many of us even now in this season. But that's exactly why we need to hear these words of lament on this first Sunday of Advent, because they do for us what we must do to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. The first thing we must do is come into this holy place and announce to God and to ourselves that all is not right. Everything is not right with us, O God. We are not as we should be, I am not as I should be. Our world is not as it should be. Oh God, tear open the heavens and come down and save us. The first thing we must do is to name out loud that we need a Savior. And we cannot save ourselves. And so we name it together and we wait. And we hope for that Savior who is coming. And even in the words of this prophet, there is hope and there is good news. He has poured out his lament in prayer to God, and then he says at the beginning of verse 8, yet, this powerful three-letter word that turns it all, yet, you are our Father. You are our God. You are the potter, and we are the clay. We belong to you. And he asserts his faith in the God who is. And just a few verses later in chapter 65, God speaks and says, I have been here all along. I have been saying to you, here I am, here I am. And then a few verses later, God says, and I am about to do a new thing. Now, as Christians, we believe that that new thing was made manifest in Jesus Christ. Yes, the Israelites had cried out for God to shake the mountains and come and tear open the heavens. God's answer to that was a peasant child, vulnerable and weak, born to poor parents and missed by most of the world. And so as we cry out with the prophet, help us, save us, O God, we need to recognize that our salvation is not going to come from the thrones of the powerful, from the halls of Congress. Our salvation is not going to come from that beautiful Lexus with a bow on it sitting in our driveway. Our salvation will not come when we gather with our family and get along without conflict. No, our salvation comes through the entrance of vulnerable love into our world and into our lives. Hope. Our Savior has come. Our Savior is coming. Our Savior will come. May we have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive this gift.
We lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have a prayer request that you would like to share, please fill out the gray cards you'll find in the pew rack, and you can put it in the offering plate when it comes down the pews in a few moments. Please note if you would like the prayer request to be kept confidential or to be shared. We offer our sympathy to Debbie, Tim, and Caitlin Ferguson, who are mourning the death of Debbie's father, N.C. Parker, who died November 5th. In Brucetown, Tennessee. And also to Ingram Howard and his family who are mourning the death of his mother, Ruth Broadway Howard, who died November 18th in Memphis, Tennessee. Services were held there on November 21st. We offer sympathy to Sandy Gregory and her family who are mourning the death of her brother, David A. Keaton, who died November 24th. And services were held in Parsons, Tennessee on November 27th. And to Kirby and Ann Davis, who are mourning the death of Kirby's mother, Barbara Tomlinson Davis, who died Wednesday, November 29th. She's also survived by her granddaughters, Kate Lemons and Laura Davis, and her great-granddaughters, Livy and Kirby Grace Lemons. Service will be held today at First Baptist Church in downtown Nashville at 1:30 p.m. Visitation precedes the service beginning at noon. The memorial service for Mike Linseth will be held this Friday, December 8th at noon. Visitation will take place prior to the service beginning at 10:30 in Reed Hall. And the memorial service for Dr. Ewart Watts will be held this Saturday, December 9th at 2 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Visitation will take place following the service in Reed Hall. And now, in response to the generosity of God, let us continue to worship the giving of God's tithes in our offerings.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Are you, you may be seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things, and the rich you send empty away. Your own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you. Then he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Holy Spirit, on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Confidence of children of God, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. A simple, humble loaf of bread becomes the body of Christ, the bread of life. And an ordinary cup of wine becomes the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Before we serve the servers, who will then be serving all of us here this morning, just a word about receiving communion in this place, especially if this is your first time receiving communion in this particular congregation. This is an open table, and all who are here are welcome to receive communion. It is not the table of our denomination or of this congregation, but of our Lord and host, Jesus Christ. If you have not received communion here before, however, just a few words of instruction. Our choir will be served first, followed by our friends in the balcony, then the transepts, and then the rest of us in the nave, guided by our ushers. If you need to be served in your seat, just let us know. Lisa and I will be making our way around the sanctuary to serve those of you who need that. If you need gluten-free bread, that will be available. Anita will have that right close to the lectern. When you come forward as you kneel, if you will have your hands open if you have not yet received, that will be a sign to our servers that you need to be served. As you come forward also, if you'd like to make a gift to the missions of our congregation, our mission for this month is the Wesley Foundations, the college ministries on our campuses here in Nashville. So I invite you also to be in prayer with our students as you consider making those gifts. This is the table of salvation, the table of grace. Let us come and meet our Lord and Savior in this place. Let us pray together. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. We came into this place just as we were this day, and we heard the good news that Christ has come, Christ is coming, and Christ will come again. May that good news bear us out into this world full of light and love and peace. Amen.